And let's pray together. And Lord, we pray now that as we come to your word, that Lord, you'd remind us of your story. Remind us of the hope that we first found in you. And why this is good news to share with the world. Amen. So today is part three of us thinking about this vision of what Jesus says to his early disciples in Acts, where as Jesus, just before he goes up into heaven, he says there are these basically these three principles you need to live by as people on earth. The last thing he says to us is basically the fact that from Acts 1, 7 and 8, he says, "It's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this last little bit Jesus says, it's the first thing he says is, sometimes there's going to be questions in life, and there's not going to be any answers. And you're going to have to learn that in this walk with God, you're going to have to trust the Father. That only the Father knows everything. And there's going to be questions sometimes in our life that we're not going to be able to answer, and only God knows. And sometimes there's questions that we have, which we'll never know the answer to. There's questions that we don't need to know the answer to. There's questions that God doesn't even want to give us the answer to them. He wants us to learn to trust the Father. That's the first thing he says to them, is trust the Father. The second thing he says is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then he says you need to receive the Holy Spirit, that you can't do any of this mission stuff until first you're trusting the Father, because it's going to be uncomfortable at times where you're not going to be in control and you need to trust the Father. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in you before you can go and do anything at all, because you need to be equipped with the Spirit of God to empower you to do what God calls you to do. And lastly, he says, and you'll be my witnesses in all the world, basically. So it's not just for your small little world, it's for the whole world. That you will go and be my witnesses. You need to go and tell the story of Jesus, tell the story of the Son. And so we've been looking at these three things of trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son. The last thing Jesus says to us is this: trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell my story to the world. And that Trinitarian understanding of who God is, I've been saying every week, it says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a threefold strand is not easily broken. That when we put those three aspects together, those three understandings of God together, that he is, that we trust the Father, we receive the Spirit, and we tell the story of the Son. When we draw them together, it's like a threefold strand that isn't easily broken. When we have that full picture of God, there's something that strengthens us and gives us a truth. And so this morning, we're looking at tell the story of the Son. And the first thing I just want to point out is that we're just going to tell you basically the story of the gospel this morning. It's a message that you've heard before, hopefully, and you definitely, if you've been in church for the last number of weeks, you'll have heard this before. But it's just important to tell the story of the Son, and for us to be mindful of what is the gospel for us, and why is it good news to the world. And the first thing I just want to remind us of is the fact that Jesus isn't a myth. But in secular culture, often there is this kind of this lie that goes around, sort of this pseudo kind of archaeology, this sort of pseudo historicity that goes on, which basically says that Jesus is a myth. And even atheist scholars don't think that that's the truth. Actually, he is a historical character, and we know this because there's three historians outside of the Bible from just after the time of Jesus, when the Gospels are being written, who talk about Jesus. And the first one is Josephus, who is a Jewish historian living just after the time of Jesus. And he writes a history of the Jewish world, and he talks about these Jews who experience this person called Jesus, who they say is the Son of God. So, first of all, Josephus, who is a Jew, not a Christian, he writes, talks about this person, Jesus. And then you've got Pliny and Tacitus, who are both Roman politicians, who make reference to Jesus and talk about what he did. In fact, Tacitus even says the fact that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and he talks about when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, from the dates and times that he was, and puts Jesus into that context. And it all fits with the time period that the Gospels are set in. So we have historical evidence outside of just not only the four Gospels that are records from the time, of other sources outside of the Christian faith that say this person actually lived. This person isn't a myth. This was a real figure in history. And it's important that we remind ourselves of that, because as Christians, we assume that, but sometimes we forget that actually the world don't agree with us necessarily. And we have to be confident to know that actually when we're telling the story of the Son, this is a story that happened in time, in history, and took place. It's not just a myth that we follow, a nice moral story that helps us live our lives out. This is based on historical fact and evidence of this person called Jesus who lived and died and was raised again according to the scriptures, but also this is what historians say that his believers thought and talked about. Jesus is real, and Jesus tells this story in Luke 15. He tells three stories back to back. He tells the story of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. You may have heard me say this before, but that feeling you get when you lose your mobile phone, or your wallet, or your keys, and you get that, where is it feeling? That sense of going, oh, you feel like you've lost a part of you. And when you lose something that's important to you, you'll go to extraordinary lengths to get it back and to find it. And the three stories that Jesus tells in these parables in Luke 15 is just that. He says, there's a shepherd who's got 100 sheep. One of them goes missing, and so he leaves the 99 behind, and he goes and does anything he possibly can to find the sheep. There's a lady who's got 10 coins, and she loses one, and so she sweeps out throughout the whole house in order to find this coin because it's precious to her. And just like when we lose something that's valuable to us, we go to extraordinary lengths to find it and bring it back to ourselves. That is the story of the Bible. Of a God who loves you, who you have been lost to. And the story of the gospel is that how God goes to extraordinary lengths to find you. Just like you would go to extraordinary lengths to find your mobile phone or your keys or your wallet or something that's important to you. God goes to extraordinary lengths in order to find you. We are lost to God. And what the Bible says is that we all make choices that take us away from God and get us lost. We make choices not to need God in our lives and to go our own way. And it's a bit like if you've ever been in the car with someone who you ask them to read a map. I used to have this quite a lot. A friend of mine called Robin, when I was at college, there was three or four of us used to get in the car and go to the beach. And my friend Robin was convinced that she was the best map reader out of everyone. And we all knew that that wasn't the case at all. And so what would happen was we'd be driving along in the car and she'd go, get on this road. Go on this road. And you're thinking, I'm pretty sure that's not the way. I have been here before, but I'm pretty sure, okay, I'll trust you, where are you going? And before you know it, because she was going her own way, not the way, we got lost. And for all this in our life, we make choices and decisions that we think are better than what God says is the best way for us. And we end up getting lost to him. So God goes to extraordinary lengths to come back and find you. How does he do this? Oh, sorry, but also when we get lost to God, we lose something too. When we're lost to God, we lose stuff too. Because when you're lost, it's a scary place to be. I've told this story before, sorry mum. But when I was younger, my parents, we went to the Natural History Museum in London, and we were in the planetarium section, and suddenly I turn around, and my family aren't there. And there's about a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, being lost in the Science Museum in London, in the planetarium section where it's dark and it's scary and there's no one around that you know. You feel fear, you feel frightened, you feel afraid, and you just don't know what to do. You feel isolated, you feel alone. I got found again, yay! But when you're lost, it affects you. It makes you feel scared, fearful. And what the Bible says is that when we're lost to God, what we lose is three important things. We lose our sense of significance, our purpose. Because in the Garden of Eden, God gives humanity purpose. And when we're lost to him, we lose that purpose. We lose our significance. We lose our identity. We're not sure who we are. We spend our lives trying to figure out who we are. We lose our security. We become fearful because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what life looks like. That when we're lost, it's a scary place to be because we don't know how it's going to be resolved. So we lose our sense of security. And lastly, we lose our sense of acceptance. We become isolated from God. Rather than being in relationship with Him, we lose that relationship, that connection, our sense of feeling accepted. And again, we then spend our whole lives as human beings trying to be accepted by people. Okay, if I just change this, maybe people will like me. If I just do this, maybe people will like me. We spend our whole lives trying to be accepted by people. And what the Bible teaches, and if you're going to come on the Freedom in Christ course starting this week, you're going to hear all about this again. It's kind of the start of the course. It's the fact that what happens in the Garden of Eden is we were both spiritually alive and physically alive. And when humanity sinned, when we go our own way, when we get lost from God, we lose our spiritual life. So we're physically alive, but we are spiritually dead. So we lose our spiritual life. We lose the ability to live for eternity in the presence of God with the significance and the security and the acceptance of who God says we are. We lose all of that. And I'm sure, like me, you recognize those things are going, those are things I'm spending my whole life always striving for. I struggle with fear. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with not necessarily feeling secure all the time in what my life looks like. So I try and spend my whole life trying to get control of my life to feel secure. I spend my whole life trying to be accepted by people. I spend my whole life trying to find significance in what I'm doing. What's the purpose of my life? What's the meaning of my life all about? What's it all about? But that's what gets lost when we're not in relationship with the God who made us and sets us on the right course of what the way, the truth, and the life is of Jesus. So what has God done? And the story of the gospel is this. God doesn't want to leave you in that place of feeling that way. And so God going to his extraordinary lengths is that he leaves heaven and he comes to earth as Jesus. Just as we read in those words this morning from Philippians, that God leaves heaven, becomes fully human whilst being fully God, lives the life of a human being, experiences all that we experience, and then he dies on the cross for your sin and my sin, conquering sin and death, being raised to life 3 days later to show that death is no more and that spiritual life can now reign when you put your faith and your trust in the hope of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God doesn't want to condemn you, he wants to set you free. God wants to find you and bring you back so that you can find your significance and your security and your acceptance. He wants to bring you back into his loving arms. We talked about in week one of Trust the Father, the fact that when Moses says, "Reveal to me your glory," God says, "Let me show you my goodness, my love, and my kindness." And God wants to bring you back into his loving arms, and he does that through Jesus. He goes to extraordinary lengths to find you and to bring you home. To bring you back to himself. I'm going to give you a picture of a seesaw just to look at for a moment. Because just very quickly, what the theology of this is, I talked about last week about how Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, talked about the idea, and it's kind of not a perfect illustration, but the idea of the Holy Spirit and Jesus being like the two hands of the Father that embrace the world. And I said about how it's Jesus who opens the door, and it's the Holy Spirit who pushes us through. A simple analogy of how the Spirit wants to bring us into that new life and make it a reality for us in the here and now. And I said in that message that what Jesus does is he does the theology bit, the bit that's complicated. And I'm going to simplify it down to the seesaw analogy of going this. When we were lost to God, it's like we sat on a seesaw and we went down and we were away from God. And what God wants to do is lift you up again. So what he does, he sends Jesus to sit on the other end of the seesaw to bring it down, take the weight and heaviness of sin for us so that we can be reunited with God. And it simply put, in Romans 5, if you read the book of Romans, it gives you a whole theological understanding of what the cross is all about. But simply it's this. Adam, who is the archetype human being in Genesis, he sins and rejects God. He goes his own way. He becomes lost to God. And because of that, the whole of humanity becomes lost to God. And if one man encompasses what it means for the whole of humanity to be lost, what the Bible says is the fact that the second Adam, i.e. the person who is Jesus, it takes one man to bring us back to God. So all of us identify, or are found in identifying with Adam, because we all choose to get lost in our lives and go our own way. And Jesus is the one person who brings us back to God. It says in Romans 5, "Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification for life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous." What it's saying is, Adam's the one who we are included into who messes up. Jesus is the one who does the right thing and allows us to have a relationship back with God. So you've got to ask yourself the question whether you want to be lost and be under Adam, or whether you want to be lost and be under Jesus. And what the Bible says is, put your faith not in what humanity does and says, but put your trust and faith in who God says he is and what he does. And what that does is it rebalances our relationship with God and brings us into that new life. Sets us free and means that we get found by God. So what does this mean for us? What the story of Jesus means for us is simply this. There is a way to have a relationship with God the Father that wasn't there when we were in sin. There is a way to be completely forgiven and made right, so that everything you've ever done in your life can be swept away and you can be said you are righteous and holy now because of Jesus. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're a Christian and you're feeling a sense of condemnation, there is more Jesus for you to know. Because condemnation is not what the believer should be living under. Because in Christ there is no condemnation. There is a way to become spiritually alive forever. That when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit we talked about last week comes into our life and makes us spiritually alive. Not only in the here and now, but for the whole of eternity. And what it means is that there is a way to find significant security and acceptance. There's a way to walk through the door that Jesus opens to be in relationship with the Father, which brings you back into a place of feeling secure, feeling significant, and feeling accepted. And when you feel those things, and when you know what the Father says about who you are, you find new purpose, you find new hope, and you find freedom, and you find rest. You no longer have to strive to try and be. You can rest in who you are. You no longer have to strive to try and be. You can rest in who you are. And go back to Romans 5. The way it's described about Jesus, it says that for those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, it's like that we reign in life. We reign in life. What it's saying is, Adam and Eve, what was lost to them was the ability to live in the purpose that God gave them, which was to reign and rule over the whole of creation. We lose our authority to rule and reign. And we can reign in life, but what it means by saying is, I live by a different code to the rest of the world. I don't live by what the world says, I live by what God says. I live under that reign. And if I'm living under the reign of Christ, I can live the life that God always wanted me to live in the first place. I can live the best way of being me. I can live the best life that is possible because I have the ability to be in relationship with the Father, and humanity always prospers when we're in relationship with the Father. As it was in the beginning, so it can be now for you and for me. That you can reign in life and experience freedom from your past, freedom from shame, freedom from guilt, freedom from fear, anxiety, freedom from the things that hold us back, freedom from patterns of behavior and sin that keep us bound and trapped. Through Jesus, it is possible for things to be different. It's possible for your life to be transformed and to be changed. So why do you want to tell the story of the Son? Because I truly believe it actually brings life to people. I believe it allows people, rather to be ruled by life, allows them to reign in life. Not to be ruled by it, but to reign in it and over it. I truly believe the gospel brings freedom and life to people. I've seen the way it can transform lives. It's not just a be a Christian because it's a nice thing to do. I truly believe that when you become a Christian, it does something in your life that is transformative. And if you continue that journey with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to talk about last week to bring life into every part of your being, and if we trust the Father and let go of the control of our life and the places of fear, you can truly live in a place where you feel purpose and freedom. And I want to live that way. I get to live that way. And I want everyone to be able to live that way. That's why it's good news. Because it's saying, God is good, and He loves you, and He wants to find you, to bring you home so that you can live the life that you were always intended to live. No matter how lost you feel this morning, there is always a way back to the Father. And if you're a believer here this morning, no matter how lost we get, God says, you're still in the fold. I will still go to extraordinary lengths to find you. You can never outrun God. He wants to bring you home. For some of us this morning who are Christians, we've just got to turn back. We should be reminded of the fact that there's a home that we can live in. For some of us here this morning, you might not be a Christian or a believer. Actually, this morning you might just need to come home. You might just need to hear the call of the Father saying, I love you and I want you to come home. And the great thing about Christianity is this. It's not what you have to do for God. It's what God has done for you. Christianity is not saying, become a Christian and then do all of these things. It's saying God has done all of this stuff so that you can come home. So that you can reign in life. The story and the message of Jesus is the blueprint for reigning in life, for freedom, for purpose, for spiritual life. Through God becoming man and being fully both at the same time, He was able to do what we could never do, to deal with sin and with death, showing us that we can live free from fear and anxiety, from guilt and shame, isolation and failure. We can live free. We can live free. So to tell the story of the Son means this. To know and share the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It is Jesus' actions and message that unlock the relationship with the fullness of God. We find meaning and purpose in His story as it shapes our own. Basically what it means is, there's a story of Jesus which can bring freedom to you when you choose to live by it and under it. Which allows you to reign in life, not be ruled by it. And you get to meet your Heavenly Father and be in relationship with Him and find significance, find security, to find acceptance, to let go of fear, anxiety, guilt, shame, isolation, failure. You can live free. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, what can you do to know Jesus? It's simply this. The ABCs of becoming a Christian. Simply this. First of all, acknowledge your situation. Understand that you're lost from God. That's what the Bible tells us to look at. Acknowledge that you're lost to God and you need to come home. Second thing, believe that the story of Jesus has power to bring transformation to your life. Believe what Jesus did, that He died, was resurrected, and has given the Holy Spirit to each and every one who puts their faith and trust in Him. Believe the story of Jesus. That it is the ability to be found by God. And lastly, confess that you need Jesus and that it's the rule of God that you want to live by. Confess that Jesus is Lord and make Him the first and foremost in your life, the thing by which you're going to live. Make Jesus Lord of your life. And if you want to do that here this morning, we're just going to say a simple prayer together. It goes like this. Why don't we all say it together, and then we'll see if anyone here this morning wants to respond to that for the first time. Let's say it together. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for our sins, and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord for this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And very quickly, if everyone can shut their eyes where they are right now. If you're here this morning and you're praying that for the first time, I just want you to raise your hand where you are right now, just so that I know that that's something you want to respond to, and I'll have a little chat with you after. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand where you are. So Father God, we thank you for the life-giving message of Jesus, of how we were lost, but how you have found us in Jesus, and that through relationship with him and what he's done on the cross, his death and resurrection, that we are able to enter into the new life of the new Adam. That we are able to live under the rule and reign of God, which means that we can reign in life rather than be ruled by it. Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be reminded that you are a good God who loves us and is chasing after us day by day. When we get lost, Lord God, help bring us back. Thank you that we can find our purpose in you. We have to strive to find the things that were lost in the world, but we can find them in you. So bless us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.